Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio. With us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Subris department here at Car Talk Plaza.
You mean Subris rhymes with hubris?
That's the Subris that rhymes with hubris. Exactly right. Now, some weeks ago, Walt Wiebert wrote to us and proposed the word Subris, which he defined as the excessive pride that causes owners of Subarus and other all-wheel drive cars to drive too fast when it snows.
Yeah, and we thought he was absolutely right.
Well, of course he's absolutely right. And we asked our listeners to propose some more words like that. And I have the proposed list here in front of me today.
Oh, you're not going to read all of them, are you?
Oh, yeah, I'm reading every single one. No. We wouldn't have time for any calls.
And that would be a bad thing?
Okay, I'll read the whole list. Well, look, I'll just give you a sampling.
Okay, that's good.
For instance, you know what dyslexia means?
What? No, of course not.
Well, it's the inability to identify your luxury SUV, which might be a Lexus, among all the others in the Whole Foods parking lot.
I got it.
All right, here's another one.
Yeah.
Do you know what Prius envy is?
Would that be insecurity about the size of your mileage?
Exactly. That's Prius envy. Here's one you've probably wondered about. Volvoid.
Volvoid.
Yeah, that's the mysterious place where all the Volvo repair money goes.
No, it's Volvoid.
It's orbiting into the Volvoid. How about Mercedes-Benz? Not the way it's traditionally spelled, but B-E-N-D-S.
Is that an exercise?
No. The Mercedes-Benz, you ready?
Yeah.
Is a painful and potentially debilitating condition triggered by making the monthly payments on an outrageously expensive German car.
Yeah, the Mercedes-Benz. That's why you doubled over writing the check.
Exactly. I'll give you one more. Now, yeah. There are a lot of good ones, but I'll save some for another week. But how about Jag-S? You know what a Jag-S is?
Sure, my brother's Jag-S.
Well, that's close. A Jag-S is a jerk who takes up two parking spaces to protect the paint job on his precious Jaguar.
Oh, that's good.
Well, look, if you want to see more of these or contribute one, they're all over at cartalk.com. But in the meantime, if you're experiencing Ford boating or a similar feeling about your car, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Who's this?
This is Becky in Dallas.
Hi, Becky.
I have twin car mechanic problems.
You have twin cars or twin mechanics?
No, I have two problems with my car, but my mechanics are twin brothers.
Really?
But they're obviously not completely equivalent in their knowledge about cars.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, it's kind of like you guys. One of you is obviously more brilliant than the other, right?
That's me.
Yeah. And what other fine attributes does the other brother have?
He looks like his twin. Is that a good thing for you guys? Would you guys like to look like each other?
No, we don't look at all alike.
No,
thank God.
No.
But these twins look alike.
They're identical.
Identical.
They're identical.
Twins.
And they both work in the garage.
Well, I thought they did.
but what?
Well, I took my car in because I've been hearing road noise and vibration, and it got progressively worse.
Uh-huh.
And I actually first took it just down the street to the guy who changes my oil, and he says, your front struts are bad. So I took a good friend's recommendation. She's really picky about this kind of thing, and went to these twins.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. I walked in and said, I think I need new front struts. Well, I think the guy who runs the front of the house kind of took my word for it and sent it back and gave me a pair of new struts.
Oh, without a road test.
Well, I took the mechanic out with me, and he said, oh, yeah, I hear it.
And what did he hear? What were you and he hearing?
It's thrum. It's like you can hear the wheels turning, and it increases with speed.
Oh, I don't think struts are going to cause that kind of noise, but go ahead. There might be more enlightening stuff in this narrative. Hurry up. We're almost out of time.
So I got the struts, drove off the lot, turned right back around, and said, you guys, I still hear it.
Ah.
So the front of house twin, let's call him Bob. Bob says, oh, it's your uneven tires. They've been worn unevenly because you've been driving with bad struts for so long.
Could be.
Well, yeah, so I took his word for that. I went out and I got four new tires. Noise is still there.
Oh, boy.
So I take it back in.
So you went back to the twins again.
Well, Bob wasn't there. Sam, the other guy, was.
Sam's the smart one?
Yeah, well,
Oh, you're beginning to believe that they're both stupid. That's what's happening to us.
He got in the car with me, and he said, oh, that's a bad bearing.
There you go. It sounded like a bad wheel bearing to me, too.
Are you kidding me? Why didn't the other guy catch it? He said, oh, he's not a mechanic.
So the other guy was the one who just said, oh, you need new struts. He sent you back, and Sam put the struts in because Bob told him to. Yeah, he's the playboy.
Did I even need the new
No, was he reading a boating magazine when you went in?
No, these guys they're very sweet, and I don't think they were trying anything on me. I just think they weren't very thorough. So, did I even need new struts? And what kind of leverage do I have going
Doesn't sound like you needed new struts.
Yeah, and you may have needed new tires if that makes you feel any better. I don't think any tire shop would sell you new tires if they weren't worn out.
No, I saw the wear marks. I did.
Yeah, so you needed the tires, and I'm guessing you may have needed the straight. I'm going to make you feel really good, Becky.
Oh,
I think you needed all three things.
Really?
Because I think he's right that the struts were worn, and the struts caused maybe the premature wear of the tires.
Yeah.
And how many miles are on this? We don't even know what kind of a car it is.
Oh, yeah. Most important question. It's a 2003 RX 300 with about 94,000 miles on it.
I mean, what you had happened to you here was you went in and told the person what was wrong with your car.
I know. Was that my first mistake?
That was a big mistake.
Yeah, you should have said.
That's their job.
Right.
They're supposed to tell you what's wrong.
But you're that kind of person. See, now, if you were driving down the road and you saw somebody broke down, you know, and maybe lying on the side of the road bleeding, you'd pull over and help, right?
Yeah, sure.
Of course.
Sure,
now, my brother would just drive right by. You know, you have rampant volunteerism.
Yeah.
You can't help us. If
you're right.
You were volunteering information with the hope that you could make this person's job, the guy wearing the boat shoes and reading the magazine, you were going to make his job easier.
So you told him what was wrong with the car. And he said, okay.
I said, I think I need new struts, not I do.
Well, he took that as a...
Good enough.
Good enough.
And so, I shouldn't walk into a mechanic's garage and assume the guy I'm
No, what you should do is tell them what the symptoms are. Say, oh, I hear this noise and I'm concerned that something's going on, but I don't know what it is. But to make you feel better, considering the age of your vehicle, it's likely that you needed the tires. It's likely that you needed, obviously you needed the wheel bearing. And and it's likely that you needed the struts too, although maybe a little less likely.
Well, I just got this bearing diagnosis a couple days ago, and I've been driving the car back and forth to work, hoping nothing falls off. Do I need to take it in like as soon as we hang up?
Soon. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how noisy it is. I'm going to make the noise for you, and based on, on your assessment of whether or not I've made the right noise, I'll tell you how long you got. You ready? So when you're driving along at, say, 40 miles an hour, the noise is like this.
Yes.
Wheel's going to fall off any day.
Well, and then when I go faster, it's whoa, whoa, whoa,
whoa, whoa, that's it.
Oh, yeah. No, you got your make sure you got your wheel in order. No, you'll probably be all right, but I would get it done ASAP.
Well, and I know who I'm going to wheel my car to.
Not us. Good luck, Becky.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Take
and you're a good sport. Everything's going to be fine. And when you get this bearing fixed, by the way, it's going to sound like a brand new car.
Yep.
Oh, I hope so.
Oh, yeah, with those struts and those $1,000 worth of tires you put on, it's going to sound like a brand new car.
So, yeah, I guess beware of brother mechanics, but even more so of twin mechanics.
And especially if one's wearing those boat shoes. And, there's all, you know, if they're twin brothers, there's always one that's that evil twin.
What?
There's the handsome one, and then there's the smart one. Yeah, gotcha.
Take care.
All right. Thanks a bunch. Take
care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888. Yeah, so the woes of self-diagnostic work. 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Craig calling from Gaithersburg, Maryland.
Hey, Craig, what's going on?
Well, I'm trying to decide whether I have a classic car worth investing thousands of dollars in repairs, or if my wife is correct, and I just have an old car that's worth what I can fetch for trade-in.
Well, you know what? Before we even hear any of the evidence, Your Honor, I think Tom and I are both going to be on this. Well, I know I'm going to be on your wife's side, but we'll let you tell your story.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Of course not. That's why he's had several wives. Go ahead, Craig.
Well, it's a beautiful 1995 Chevrolet Camaro convertible. It has only 70,000 miles on it, but it has lots of things going wrong with it. There are some minor problems, like neither one of the windows will go down. But there's also some major problems, like it needs a new convertible top, it needs new upholstery, it needs a new air conditioner. And I'm not sure how to determine whether I really have a classic that's worth investing in or whether I should just trade it in.
Jeez, I think before your wife dumps you, you should dump this car.
Yeah, of course, I don't agree with my brother, because that's a beautiful car.
It is. No, and it's not
a, it's a gorgeous car.
Well, it is a beautiful car. Do what you have to do. It's going to cost you a fortune, but do it anyway.
You know, it's going to cost you a fortune for the divorce and the restoration of the car.
But you'll be able to give the car to her, and you'll be all paid up.
you think so, huh? So what has made you in love with this car?
Really, it's just a beautiful car. It's a dark metallic red with camel-colored convertible top and interior.
See,
so let's.
I were not an honest man, I would tell him this was a piece of junk, and then I would call him and ask him if he wants to sell it to me.
I am an honest man.
I would offer him
$50. And I'm telling him in the interest of his marriage, he should get rid of this thing. So listen, so it's a 95, and if you look to see what these fetch all fixed up.
I've actually looked to see what it fetches in kind of poor condition. So,
well, you have one of those.
Yes, I have one of those. So I could maybe get $1,500 or $2,000.
Okay,
really?
And I'm guessing if you put between $8,000 and $10,000 on it, you could probably get $5,000 for it. Which isn't bad.
No, it's not.
You know, it's a 50% return of your money. We had an investment fund years ago called the Capital Depreciation Fund, where we promised to return 50% of people's money. And this is what I think you're heading for here.
The amazing thing is your estimate of $10,000 is exactly my wife's estimate of the repairs.
Yeah.
And here's the other question. Who had this thing before you?
I bought it new.
Oh,
so you ran it into the ground.
Yes.
And so this, you came into the marriage with this car?
The marriage has been longer than the car.
Oh, the marriage. So your wife was there when you bought the car?
Absolutely.
And it was your daily driver for how long?
I've been driving it for 15 years.
Oh, you're still driving it?
Oh, yes.
Oh, geez. Oh, you lucky devil.
Oh, you fool.
But if I replace it, I need to get another convertible. And they're not inexpensive.
Yeah, I can see, Craig, that this is you're a lost cause. If your wife has not been able to convince you, we are not going to be able to convince you. I can sense that. You are committed, or maybe you should be committed. But you are determined to fix this car up.
Yes.
And what you were looking for from us was something called positive reinforcement.
And you got it from me,
and
baby.
I'm sad that I was unable to provide that for you. My conscience wouldn't allow it, but no. I'm shifting gears. I'm coming over to your side.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
This is what you should do with
and
people.
I was always
this
on
is
your
what
side.
You should always do with people who are a little bit off. So,
so I may get unanimous support.
You have it, man.
Yeah, and tell your wife if she wants to sue us to get in line. So go, if you're going, because whilst you're fixing this thing, you're going to have to get another car.
Yeah, I guess so, because I won't have a car while it's in the shop for all these extensive repairs.
Yeah, no,
sure.
Buy yourself a brand new Hyundai or something.
Something
inexpensive that has all the things that this car doesn't have, like side curtain airbags and electronic stability control and a bunch of other things. But anyway, when you get all those things, you may say, hey, this Hyundai isn't so bad. Maybe I'll just drive the Camaro on weekends.
That would not be bad.
Just summertime use, and if you drove it only in the summer, it wouldn't get all beaten up.
Well,
oh, with that
true.
Top down, I can see him now putting the top down.
I can see me in the car, too.
No, you're not going to be in the car.
All right, Craig.
You're going to be pushing in the back.
When you break. breakdown. Look, when you get it all done, come up to Boston and take my brother for a ride. He doesn't get out much.
No.
All right.
See
you.
Oh, see you, man.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Boy, bye-bye. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Well, you know.
Isn't that a con?
No, he's. No, I don't care for this. I mean, I'm with his wife, but I know he cannot be dissuaded.
No, he can't.
No, and so why fight it?
And you wouldn't want to be dissuaded either.
It's an nothing is as powerful as something whose time is, an idea whose time has come, and he's going to do it. He's got it in his head that he's going to fix this car.
You are absolutely right.
And he wants to go back to 1995 when he graduated from high school. Yeah, and you know, we all try to go back because there are certain things about the past that represent comfort and safety. Yeah. And that's why we listen to old music and drive old cars that leak oil like yours. God. Anyway.
I've been getting notices from the place where I parked the car.
Your Fiat?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, really? Why? What's going on?
They tell me that oil is leaking out all over the floor. What do they want from me?
Pretty soon they're going to tow you away. It's going to be an environmental disaster. Look, we have to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll have the answer to last week's puzzler. Now, do you happen to remember the puzzler?
Sadly, I don't. I mean, can you refresh my memory just a little bit?
Yeah, sure. Let me get the Febreze out. The puzzler had to do with temperatures.
Ah, Fahrenheit or Celsius?
Yes. And we'll be back with the whole story and more of your car questions in just a minute.
So please stay tuned.
I walked out to the driveway. I opened up the door. I turned on the ignition and heard a mighty roar. The sound of grinding metal echoed down the street. Made my plastic hula dancer dive under the seat. Don't take all my money, Mr. Mechanic Man.
And even though stranded European tourists decide to swim back home whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And this was a non-automotive puzzler, and lots of people had sent this in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Must have appeared on some other website, and they stole it.
Probably. Anyway, here it is.
Yeah.
Stevie decided it was time to take his motorcycle to work. It had been in the garage all winter, and finally the weather had gotten nice, so after a little tinkering, he fires it up and off he goes. Anyway, he's enjoying the beautiful sunshine and the warm air, and he comes to an intersection that he goes through every day. But on this day, because he's on the bike, he's noticing things he hadn't, you know, usually noticed.
Mm.
And on a building to the right is one of those big signs that displays the time and the temperature.
Yeah.
It flashes, and he says, geez, I guess I'm really late for work. Then the temperature comes up in Fahrenheit. And then a few seconds later, it comes up in centigrade. And he says, huh, that's interesting. The digits are exactly reversed. For example, if it had said 31 degrees Fahrenheit, when it showed the centigrade reading, it said 13.
Yeah.
Right? And they can only be reversed if it's a two-digit number.
Sure.
He says, geez, I've never seen that before. Anyway, the light turns green. Off he goes to work. And because he got to work so late, he decides to stay late. And realizes that he should have listened to the weather forecast, because when he comes out of work, it's drizzly and rainy and cold. But he gets back on his motorcycle, and he's riding home, and guess what?
Same intersection,
and he thinks, what are the chances I'd ever see that happen again? Well, it's certainly not going to happen now, because it's a lot cooler than it was this morning when the sun was out.
Yeah.
He sees the temperature in Fahrenheit, and then the temperature in centigrade. And again, it's the digits reversed.
Get out.
What are the chances of that? So the question is, what was the temperature in the morning when he went to work, and what was the temperature when he went home? And we'll accept the answer in either Fahrenheit.
Because we know the conversion, man.
Now, I don't know if there's an algebraic way to solve this, but I know how I solved it. I put the two thermometers next to each other. And it turns out that in the morning, when the sun was out and it was balmy, it was 28 degrees Celsius, which is 82 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
And, of course, you're assuming that the whatever algorithm the thing is using is rounding off to the closest whole number, you know.
Sure, and it is.
And at night when he came home, and it was drizzly and raining and ugly, it was 16 degrees and 61 degrees.
Wow.
Cool, huh?
And you have...
It only works.
Corroborate.
It only, well, I did the math, yeah. It only works if the number is 2.
Well, that's my question.
Well, I think these
are the only 2.
It has to be between 50 and 99 Fahrenheit, right? Because below 50 is 10 degrees centigrade.
Right.
So you can't reverse the digits if it's 9 degrees centigrade. There's nothing to reverse.
Right.
So between 50 and 99, which is the only possible range here, these are the only temperatures, in my humble opinion, where they're reversed.
And you're sticking with that.
Oh, man, you know, I've never been... The only time I was sure of something was that thing with the mangoes. Anyway, who's our winner?
The winner is Karen German from Franklin, Tennessee. And for having her answer selected at random from all the correct answers that we got, Karen is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division, which is at CarTalk.com.
You're living the dream, Karen, I'm telling you.
And with that certificate, she can get an official CarTalk baseball hat, since it is baseball season now. What, we're going to sell CarTalk football helmets next fall?
I think so.
Well, no, come on, we can't do that.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzle coming up in the third half of the show today, so don't head off to yoga class just yet. But if you have a question about your car or anything else, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Stephanie from Norwell, Massachusetts.
Hi, Stephanie.
Stephanie, what's going on?
Massachusetts.
Yes.
Is your basement drained out yet? It's only been a month, right?
it has drained, finally.
Oh, good. Wow. What's going on?
We have a 2002 GMC Yukon.
Okay.
It has about 130,000 miles on it, and it's been meticulously maintained. Last year, the first time we put the car in four-wheel drive, it made like a wow, wow, wow noise coming from the front left tire.
As you were driving.
As we were driving, but it didn't change based on acceleration or braking.
Gotcha.
So we would take it out of four-wheel drive and leave it in regular drive, and no noise. A year later, still, if we put the car in four-wheel drive, it makes that humming, and we cannot, for the life of us, figure out how to get it to stop.
Oh, I know how to get it to stop.
Yeah.
Take it into the repair shop and have to fix it.
Well, we've spoken to a repair shop about it, and they said, you know, we could look at it. It would probably cost you some money, that type of thing.
Well,
of course.
Duh.
What do you say? I knew that.
So during this time, have you ever had occasion to put it? You must have needed four-wheel drive in the last year.
We really haven't.
No snowstorms out there?
So you guys are south of the snow belt? In Norwell? Well, that's good. So you haven't needed it, but you haven't been curious about it. And when you put it in, what's the longest period of time that you left it in and listened to the noise?
Probably 5 minutes.
5 minutes. And the noise was so annoying that you took it out.
Well, I think we worried that it was not a good sign, so we should make it stop.
You weren't worried that it may have suggested that something was going to fall off, seize up, break, or cost
or
you,
explode.
Or explode, or cost you more money if it were neglected.
Evidently not.
No, went away when we took the car out of four-wheel drive, so we sort of figured that was a temporary, inexpensive fix.
Yeah, well, I guess so. I'm guessing it has to do with the locking hub mechanism on that left front wheel, which is probably bound up or maybe worn out. And if you spend the appropriate number of dollars, which will be in the hundreds, it will get fixed. But you may have crossed a threshold, I'm afraid.
Okay.
And you know what that threshold is?
No.
Doesn't have dollars involved?
No, it doesn't have dollars involved. Well, it does. It relates to dollars. But the thing is 8 years old and 130,000 miles, and you figure, why spend another penny on this clunker?
Yeah.
I think we felt like we haven't needed four-wheel drive.
Well, call us next. You're not going to need it now until next winter.
Right.
So call us then.
But if you, it, the thing may just be stuck. So what you might want to do is put it in four-wheel drive and drive it and make some turns and back up and see if the thing will free itself up. And the noise may go away. But if it doesn't, I'm going to suggest that you take it in before something even more costly is on the horizon. Who knows? We always hope for this when we have customers who neglect stuff, that you can turn a $300 repair into a $900 repair. that's the hope of every auto repair shop. That neglect turns small repairs into big ones. So maybe you can take it in if you're so moved. But try driving it,
driving it around, make sure you back it up.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure it's got to do with the hub on that left, the driver's side front wheel.
Okay.
See you, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Boy, that would this is the difference between you and me.
Yeah.
If this were my vehicle, or not my vehicle, even something in my house, if my washing machine were making noise.
Yeah.
I would tend to it. If I couldn't fix it myself, I'd call someone and have it looked at.
Yeah.
You, on the other hand, would start taking stuff to the dry cleaners.
Well, I would hope that the noise would go away.
Hope.
Yeah. So, but I wouldn't use the thing that was making the noise.
Right.
Because it might blow up.
Right.
Exactly. I don't want that
to happen. There you go, folks. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227.
But I'm the older, more intelligent brother.
No, lazier. 227-825-5. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Corey from San Diego.
Corey?
Corey, what's up, man?
Hey, a little background. I have an 02 Honda Accord, and I recently got a lot of maintenance done. I had the timing belt changed, the alternator belt, the power steering belt. There's a bunch of belts changed and spark plugs and everything.
Yeah.
And after I got it done, it was making a weird whining noise between like 1,000 and 2,000 RPMs.
Uh-huh.
So I took it back, and he said, the mechanic got in the car, he listened to it, because you can definitely hear it. And he said that was an auto-tensioning system, that the Accord has an auto-tensioning system, and it needs to tension the belt to the right length. And he said that takes about 1,000 miles, and once that happens, it'll stop making the noise.
Yeah, go back and give him a dope slap.
Tell him the 1,000 miles is up.
No, not yet, but it's about 500. I don't think it's getting any better.
Well, what it does, what this thing does have is it does have a self-tensioner, okay? This engine also has two timing belts, okay? It has the main timing belt, and it has something called a balance shaft belt. And both of them are driven off the main crankshaft sprocket of the engine. What he did was he over-tightened, I believe, the timing belt. And you're supposed to just release the bolt, and the timing belt tensioner with its spring just pulls the belt, and that's it. A lot of mechanics make the mistake of giving that another little nudge and trying to get it a little bit tighter, thinking it's a little bit too loose, and as such, they make the belt too tight. And it's not, I suppose, it over time, it might go away. But if this thing is making this much noise, something's been done that's really wrong. Either that or the tensioner itself, which has a ball bearing in it, is faulty.
Huh.
And the noise would sound like a...
Yeah, exactly.
And it'll drive you cuckoo.
Yeah, and would that contribute to more knocking? Because it seems like it's knocking louder now.
Oh, like when you accelerate?
No, just idling. It sounds like it's like a doot-doot-doot. You know, I mean, it's just a little bit louder.
I don't like this at all. You know what I don't like?
What's that?
I'm beginning to feel that he may have put the thing together incorrectly.
Huh.
And you should go back to him and say, no, this isn't going away, and I'm not going to wait till it goes away, because if it does go away because the timing belt jumps, it's going to cost you an engine, Mr. Repair Shop Owner. Because what happens when the timing belt jumps...
Oh, that's bad.
All the valves get bent. And this guy will be forced into retirement when that happens. So you don't want to have him retire early. Say, look, I think you screwed it up. In fact, I know you screwed something up, or you overlooked something. You have two choices. You can take it apart and fix it at your expense, or I'll take it someplace else and have them do it, and I'll just bring you the bill. And I think those are the only two choices he has.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Good luck, man.
Good luck.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
All right.
All right. Do you happen to know what time it is now?
Time to add the spring boat payment surcharge?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we dig up a caller from a previous show to see if they followed our advice.
And got that nice fruit basket that we sent to them at the rehab center. So who's our lucky player this week?
It's Teresa from St. Paul, Minnesota. Do you remember Teresa?
No, not really. Refresh my memory, will
you? Well, Teresa called us 2 years ago because, get this, she believed she was being followed.
For about the past 3 months, at highway speed, I've got a helicopter sound going on. And the thing that's so weird is that I have had my car in for an alignment and 4 new tires, which it really needed, by the way, but that has not taken care of the problem. And I'm very worried that either I am looking at a really big bill or else I am being followed by a government agency. I can't decide.
Black ops.
So I'll be doing 55, whatever, and it'll fade in. It'll follow me, and then it'll fade out. It's really weird. It appears to be
at the same speed.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to guess that the fading in and fading out may have something to do with bends in the road.
Wow.
And mm-hmm. I'm going to guess also, you don't have to answer that question because you may give the wrong answer.
Which is
we'll be in trouble. But I'm going to guess that it got worse or more noticeable after the new tires were put on. Okay, no answer for that either. Okay, Teresa, moving on.
There you go again. Browbeating the witness.
Hey, it was for her own good. So what did we actually tell Teresa was wrong?
We told her that it was a loose piece of sheet metal, either a heat shield or a baffle in the exhaust.
All right, let's see how we did. I'm liking it less and less. Teresa, you haven't been abducted yet, have you?
Not yet.
Oh! Well, before you fill us in, we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk, have we?
Sadly, no.
And the answer you're about to give has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of NPR, or by the tinfoil hat that we sent you.
Nope, I am completely, this is a black box experiment here.
Okay, great. So, Teresa, was it some loose piece of sheet metal?
Sadly, no.
Mm. Oh!
Yeah, as I was recalling this call here,
I said, not what it is.
I thought it might be a wheel bearing or a differential.
Now you think of it.
Neither one of those either, probably. It was somebody following you.
I do not hold you guys responsible because a bare 2 days after I called you guys, I started to smell burning.
Oh.
And needless to say, got it right in, and it turns out that my brake calipers were engaging inappropriately, and so basically I was braking.
They were engaging in what inappropriately?
So you had the brake on when you didn't know it was on.
Exactly.
Oh, and that was making the noise?
The noise and eventually the smell.
The
bad mileage. And so now...
Oh, bad mileage. That wasn't in there. We don't recall getting that information.
You didn't tell us about bad mileage.
Oh, boy. So we didn't know about the smell and the smoke, the fire. Had we had those tiny pieces of information, Teresa, we would have homed right in on this. So you had to have 2 calipers replaced?
That's right.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
And now everything, it's fit as a fiddle, right?
Actually, yes. Now I think my parking brake is coming on inappropriately, too, but that's a whole nother call. So,
we'll call us back before it gets to this level.
Thank you. That's a great idea.
That was great.
Okay.
See you, Teresa.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for playing Stump the Chumps.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
All right, look, in just a minute, the new puzzler is coming up. But before we get to that, we're obligated to take a short break.
Right. It's not that we want to take a short break.
No, no, no. Stations just don't think their listeners can handle us in more than 20-minute increments.
That's right.
And look, and when we come back, this week's new puzzler will be from my Travel and Leisure series.
Ooh, I like it.
Well, you might not. It's actually about you a little bit, you know, so you might not like it. But anyway, we'll have that and more of your car questions, too, so please stay tuned.
I got my hood up in the air on the side of the road. Nothing but steam pouring out of my busted heater hose. And all my precious Prestone went out in the wind. And I'm broken down and missing you again.
little too late. I need to find a better place to put your pretty face. And that's the last time I put your picture over my temperature gauge.
And even though tinnitus sufferers wish the ringing would get just a little louder whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler. And I did mention this is from my Travel and Leisure series. And this was sent in by a fellow named Thomas Lindsay.
Go ahead.
At least the kernel of it was.
Travel and what? Leisure?
Leisure, yes. So some of you may know that Tommy recently returned from his annual winter vacation. He stored nuts all fall so he could save up for this. And I did notice on his return that he had changed. I noticed, for example, that he was calmer, right? And more relaxed and more tanned up.
Hmm.
And most importantly, I noticed that he was fatter.
Really? Is that what this is?
that thing around your waist? Yeah, that's what that is. So I decided I dashed him off a series of emails. And when I looked at these emails, all of which consisted of one sentence, I noticed that each sentence contained a unique word.
Oh.
Yes, and all those unique words had something in common. Now, I'm going to give you the list of words.
Whoa.
And then I'll even give you the sentences so you can appreciate the full flavor.
Yeah,
of
yeah.
Here are the words. Pig.
Yeah.
Table.
Mm.
Cab. Reel. Yet. And ride. And if you're interested, here are the sentences I sent.
Yeah.
First sentence. First email. Tommy, you're starting to look as fat as a pig. Second email. Tommy. You must have spent way too much time at the dinner table. Third, Tommy, you obviously didn't walk much. You probably took a cab everywhere while you were away. Thomas, you need to take a real good look in the mirror. Dear brother, it's not too late yet. Tommy, dearest, get on your bike and go for a long ride. So those are the words, pig, table, cab.
Yeah.
Real, yet, and ride. Now, these words are not in any order. Order doesn't matter. And I'm sure there are many, many other words that could be added to this list. In fact, I'll throw you a couple right now. Sand could be added to this list. And the word win. Like win, like win, lose.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure there are many dozens of others, and maybe our listeners will send in many dozens of others. But the challenge here is to find out what all these words have in common. And there's a hint I'll give in addition to the words, extra words I've given.
Yeah.
None of them begins with the letter A. No subsequent word that you could add to this list would begin with the letter A. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a CNC DX1G 10 megapixel underwater digital camera with 2.5-inch waterproof LCD monitor, 3x optical zoom, built-in flashlight diffuser, 180-foot depth rating, of course, and macro mode that enables shooting from 1 centimeter away, and send it along with a vat of jellyfish sting cream, too. Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
If you have a question about your car, right now, give us a call. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, Tom and Ray.
Hi.
My name is Sharon. I'm calling from Normal, Illinois.
From are you normal?
Well, we like to say that we're so normal, we're abnormal. My car definitely is not normal right now.
Oh, it's not. What kind of a car is it?
I drive a 2002 Subaru Impreza wagon, and it has about 170,000 miles on it.
Really?
170,000.
Yeah, I do a lot of driving. But anyway, every single time I think it sounds like it has a cold. Every single time I turn it on, it kind of goes... Well, should I make the noise?
Of course, yeah. Of course.
It kind of goes, kind of like that.
When you have tried to start it up.
When I start up. Well, it starts. Just
it always starts. Okay.
So how soon after it started does it start making this noise?
Pretty much right. right away. And it kind of sounds like a mixture between like a coughing and a rattling.
And how long does this noise persist before it finally goes away?
It goes away when I drive about over 40 miles an hour.
But you do have to be moving to get the noise, or will it sit? When you first start it, before you've had a chance to put it in gear, is it making the noise?
It is. It's making that noise.
And so it makes the noise whether it's moving or not moving.
Correct.
And when you get to 40 miles an hour,
about 40 and maybe a little bit over.
Okay, let's say 42. So you get to 42 miles an hour, the noise goes away.
Yes.
When it goes away, does it ever come back?
It does when I go slower again.
Ah.
And I don't have to press on the brake. I could just kind of coast. And then it starts making that noise. Oh, don't make that noise. Please don't say that. Oh my gosh. No. See, the reason why, also, my husband and I, we just bought a house here in town, and we're closing in about a month and a half.
No, you're not.
And
no.
So we have to, and I can't buy a new car until then.
Well, you can always sleep in the car.
See, so sure.
It makes this, so this noise is there. And when you say you can't hear it above 42 miles an hour, it may mean that it's just getting drowned out.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. And when you slow down below 42, all the other noises that are conspiring, so to speak, to drown out this noise.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure. Like, I kind of have stuck my head out the window before while driving to kind of hear it. And then as we slow down, I kind of hear it coming back again.
Well, answer this vital question. Does it ever make the noise if you're in the house watching TV?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, so then we've established that it doesn't make the noise all the time.
No, it doesn't.
So the engine has to be, I mean, it could be something as simple as a bad water pump. The water pump on this car is driven by the timing belt.
I had my timing belt changed like about
About what, 80,000 miles ago?
No, actually, about 20. Maybe
20. Well, it still could be the. I'm assuming they changed the water pump when they did the timing belt, but maybe they didn't.
Okay, I can't remember if
they should have. If they should get their hands slapped if they didn't, but it could be the timing belt. It could be a timing belt tensioner. It could be one of the idler pulleys. So, but here's the other thing that could make that noise, and it's consistent with what's going on. Except I'm surprised that it doesn't go away at some point and stay away. It sounds like the starter drive is not disengaging after you started the engine.
Yeah.
When you turn the key to start the engine, you make the starter motor, which is an electric motor, fling a gear out, a small gear called the pinion gear, that engages a much bigger gear on the flywheel called the ring gear. And when you do that, those two gears mesh. Once the engine
starts going, however.
However.
This little gear pops back in.
Right. It gets,
to get out of the way.
It gets disengaged. Once it gets spun up to a certain speed, this overrunning clutch of this thing spins this gear back, and it goes back where it came from, never more to engage the starter unless you try to either restart the engine while it's running, in which case you get this noise, or you've shut the thing off and try to start it anew.
Oh.
But what may be happening in your case is the starter motor is malfunctioning, and that gear is staying engaged.
Mm.
Now, it could be that the fault is in the starter, or it could be the fault is in your ignition key. The switch, rather.
Well, I don't know if this. I mean, it kind of starts right away. It doesn't always start right away. I kind of, because it's an older car, I always thought it was because it's cold out, but now it's not really cold out.
No, don't go throwing all the complicated stuff into the mix here. We get confused easily. So here's what you need to do, Sharon. You need to take it someplace where they can listen to it with a stethoscope.
I have a good mechanic here in town. I just haven't had a chance to. I haven't really had a day off in about 3 weeks.
Well, you're afraid to go see him.
You're afraid because it's going to cost you money.
I am afraid. I know it's probably going to cost us money, but do you think it's fixable?
Everything's fixable, and if you don't fix it, there's a chance that you're going to do more damage. You could actually have a fire.
Oh, that's bad.
Well, it could be.
Yeah.
Could be, but with 170,000 miles in the car, fire might be good.
I was going to make an appointment with him today to go see him tomorrow.
Great.
Good idea.
Okay.
Go see him. Check the thing out. And you'll find out that it's either one of those other things, you know, timing belt tensioner or idler pulley or whatever, or it's the starter staying engaged. I'm pretty sure it's one of those things. And if it's something serious inside the engine,
don't even
see if
think
you can install some more loudspeakers for the radio.
Yeah.
Well, you know, actually, I do listen to you while I'm in the car.
Well, you can't listen to us in the car now. We have to compete with all that grinding. Anyway, good luck, Sharon, and let us know what happens.
It was a pleasure talking to you.
Our pleasure. Take care.
Same here.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Wade, and I'm calling from Narberth, Pennsylvania.
From where?
Narberth, Pennsylvania. It's a little town outside of Philly.
Okay, got it.
I need help rehabilitating my car from a summer camp prank.
I love it.
Yeah. So I work for the Arthritis Foundation, and we have a camp for kids with arthritis. And we love pranks like most summer camps. But last year, I got revenge enacted upon me by some of the campers I'd pranked for so many summers. And,
So you started off the prankstering.
Yeah,
and it came
much.
Back and bit you in the butt.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah, what did they do to you?
Well, I have a tan Honda Element, and my coworker has a silver Ford Escape. And so what the kids decided to do one night, and it's pretty brilliant, they covered our cars with Post-it notes. I mean, every color you can imagine, green, yellow, pink, purple, you know.
Yeah,
I love it.
Roof to wheels, covered. And, you know, maybe an inch between each Post-it note. So you know, we were proud of them, so we left them on for about 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the second night, it rained. And the next morning, we came out to our cars, and some of the Post-it notes had fallen off, and we could see some stains below that looked a little pink. So we took off all the Post-it notes, and only the pink Post-it notes had stained. And they had left a stain behind that had smeared with the rain. And so there were about 20 to 30 of these, like, fist-sized smear marks.
Oh, so now it looks
over.
Like your car has measles.
Exactly, yeah. It looked like it had chicken pox or something.
Yeah.
So we tried washing it off, nothing. You know, the kids got some soap out because they started to be a little nervous.
Yeah, it wasn't so funny when it was your car, huh?
Exactly. So they combined equal parts bleach and water.
Mm.
And they got rags
I don't
from
like
the
this.
Dining hall, and they realized that it was working. So they started scrubbing the car, and they got the stains out. Well, as soon as our cars dried, we realized that there were indents. There were swirl marks, basically, where they had washed each of the places. Oh, and in the middle of this, we called 3M. There's a hotline for posted emergencies, I guess.
Did they have a good laugh?
Well, we didn't talk to a live person right away.
They were too busy laughing.
Probably. They thought it was a prank themselves, you know? So we still have these marks. And when you look at the car from certain angles, you can definitely see it. And, you know, I took it to the car wash after camp, and they were sort of shaking their head, and they kept asking, how did this happen?
Right.
So, and 3M did call us back about a week later, by the way, and they said, just wait 9 months and it'll fade. So,
You could have done that.
Yeah, we could have done that, but, you know, meanwhile, it looked like pink Post-it pock marks all over our cars. So,
how old are these cars?
I have a 2006 Element, and she has a 2005 Escape.
So which car looks worse?
Probably hers, because the silver, it just shows up a little bit more than my tan.
Mm.
Really?
So I'm just wondering, you know, am I going to have to suck it up and go to a body shop, or is there, you know, some solution I can try putting on it to...
Oh, I don't think I'd try putting anything else on it. I think you guys have done enough damage.
I would just wait.
No, I don't think it's ever going to fix it now that they've scuffed it.
See, but I'm figuring that if you wait long enough, you're going to have an accident.
Right. If you're lucky, you'll get hit by a city bus.
If you're lucky, it'll be right there. Boom.
Hailstorm or something, yeah.
Or a hailstorm, yeah.
A hailstorm.
Yeah, you need to relocate to maybe Kansas.
Yeah.
But short of that, I think if you took it to a body shop, they might be able to buff it out. Because the way cars are painted now, they have a base coat, which is the color.
Mm-hmm.
And then atop that, and what they have scratched up is what's called the clear coat. So
okay.
they may be able to either refinish the clear coat just by using a mild abrasive on it and buffing it out, or the worst case scenario is they buff out the whole clear coat with a very fine grit sandpaper and then buff the whole car back. That'll cost you about $6,000. No, it's not as bad as it looks. And believe it, like anything else, you will get used to it as time passes.
Exactly. Just forget about it.
Right. It's like having a growth on your nose. The first day you notice it, what the hell is that? And it bothers you. But after a while, you look in the mirror and you don't even notice it because it's your nose.
Yeah. I think it's a good memory. And, you know, I still am proud of the kids and for thinking of it.
I am too.
Positive messages on the Post-its, too. It was like, we love you. You're beautiful. You know, it was very clever.
So here's the real question. Have you found a way to retaliate?
Oh, there are plans in motion.
There are plans in motion.
Yes, summer can't come quickly enough.
But I just want to warn you that these kinds of things escalate.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
true.
So, you know, so
there'll be bombs involved pretty soon.
So whatever you do, just be warned. Good luck waiting, and good for being such a good sport about it.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, don't worry. If you really want to get it fixed, take it to a body shop. They may be able to buff it out.
Okay.
But other than that, leave it, and you'll have a fun story to tell everybody when they say, what the heck happened to your car?
Yeah.
Take care, man.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Boy, oh boy.
Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David the Calves of Belleville Green. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Holyoke Artichoke Diet Coke Fried Egg Yolk Oyster Smoke Mung Bean Soak and Wine with Oak Go for Broke Stomach Stoke, is John Bugsy Lawler. He's going to be hurting tomorrow. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative was Heywood Jabuzoff. Our local news producer is Phil Matt Levin. Our sensitive language advisor is Holly Schmidt. Our staff morale coach is Donna Karen E. Moore. Our proofreader is Aaron Spelling. Our financial advisor is Nora Linderby. Our missing persons investigator from the Tel Aviv office is Yehuda Guy. Tom's personal psychiatrist is Minnie Luz Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the other carbo-loading bums in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1017, trudge through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com, or you can call the Shameless Commerce Division at 888-CAR-JUNK.
Also this week at cartalk.com, we want your stories of dangerously close calls.
You mean almost calling us for advice?
No. I mean close calls on the road with distracted drivers.
I had a close call today. I was pulling into Car Talk Plaza, and some bum driving a rusted-out jalopy is bouncing around in his seat, not paying attention, and he almost drove right into me.
Oh, sorry about that. I dropped a lit cigar between my legs.
Oh, that was you! Well, look, if you've ever had a close call with a distracted driver, we're interested in your story this week. Share it with us at our new Distracted Driving Center.
You can get there from the homepage at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Sue Grafton jots down, G is for G, I think I'm going to puke whenever she hears us say it. This is NPR.